but it's always time to go exploring. Welcome to Outdoor Pursuits with yours truly, Jade Quinn McDonald. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, unceded territory of the Halkomelem-speaking Musqueam people. This morning, you're going to hear a recorded interview from Tuesday, January 6th, over the phone with Morgan Dinsdale. She is the founder and executive director of State of the Snowpack, a BC public safety society offering free monthly speaker series in the Kootenays. We're looking at Nelson, we're looking at Rosalind, we're looking at Revy and newly Fernie. So tune in to hear a little bit more about their mission, about community conversations to save lives in the backcountry.
My name is Morgan Dinsdale. I live in Pemberton, British Columbia, which is where I'm joining you and your listeners from. And my role is I'm the founder and executive director of the State of the Snowpack. I'm also a professional ski guide. I'm a level 2 CSGA ski guide, and I hold avalanche operations level 2 from the Canadian Avalanche Association. And I guide for a heli outfit in Whistler and a cat skiing outfit in the Kootenays.
Incredible. Okay, then you're the right person for the job. That's great.
Something like that.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit more about what State of the Snowpack is all about?
Yeah. So State of the Snowpack is our tagline is community conversations saving lives in the backcountry. And we do a couple of different things, but really the gem of what we do is we try and bridge the gap between avalanche professionals and their own backcountry communities. So we create local chapters in different mountain towns of British Columbia. We started in Nelson, British Columbia, and we now have chapters in addition to Nelson in Rosalind, Revelstoke, and new this year, Fernie. And our goal is to have a chapter in every major mountain town of Canada by 2030. And so we host in the wintertime once a month a live event in each of these towns. We kind of create them in these sort of symbiotic relationships. So we'll host them at a local venue where there's, you know, food and drink and a stage. It's always free to the public, and avalanche professionals, and they could be guides, they could be avalanche AST instructors, they could be working for highways, they could be working for a ski resort or on a patrol. They'll come and they will speak to what's happening in the local snowpack. So we back up what Avalanche Canada has always put out. So they do these beautiful and amazing regional forecasts. And then our event sort of speaks to variability within these large forecast regions. So Nelson is a great example. We'll report on the main areas where people ski tour in Nelson is right outside of Whitewater Boundary, the ski resort, and then at Kootenay Pass. And we are actually collaborators. We have Kootenay Backcountry Guides as our avalanche education provider. That's our partner. And then Whitewater Ski Resort is also our partner. So we host these live events where people can come for free and sit and learn from the avalanche professionals in their own community, meet the faces of the people actually creating the forecasts, doing the avalanche control work, and get to know people in their backcountry community. And that's really the best thing I think that we do, is just creating this public space for the professional and the recreationists to get together and just talk about snow and snow nerd out. And then in addition to that, we do create short form videos, snowpack updates when like major storms happen in these areas. And we have a minimum set of requirements to either present to the live event or to create a video for us. And we welcome sledders as well as ski tours, like anyone sort of working in the backcountry professionally to contribute. And we put up those videos and support Avalanche Canada and the work they're doing to the best of our ability.
Incredible. So have you guys ever like had any direct communication with Avalanche Canada?
We have a lot of direct communication with Avalanche Canada, actually. We have a partnership that's really been building over a number of years, and we're actually in discussions about becoming official partners with each other. You know, Avalanche Canada does an incredible job. I think they really set a global standard in terms of providing information to the public from, in particular, the professional information exchange. That's this private sort of back end to anyone working professionally in the avalanche industry, be it a ski hill to a guiding operation and to mines. And we really just want to support what they're doing. And one of the beautiful things that we do is we have these in-person events where we bring people together, and it allows a stage for them to actually communicate and connect with people. And one of the coolest things about our newest chapter, Fernie, is I'm pretty sure almost every one of our presenters actually works for Avalanche Canada's South Rockies forecasting zone.
No kidding.
So we have lots of discussions. We want to make sure that we back up Avalanche Canada as best we can. And, you know, they're forecasting for these huge regions. And what our the way we've structured ourselves and built ourselves is that we have sort of a more local as it gets approach. We can speak to spatial variability in a really great way because we're in front of people in these little community by community events. And, you know, if let's say you're in Revelstoke and you want to come down to Nelson, well, you can watch the live stream after it's happened, or you can come join in person or watch one of the updates and get sort of that local as it gets in addition to the regional forecast. You know, our goal has always been that recreationists will go to Avalanche Canada, look at the forecast, read about the problems, read the weather, and then from there go to State of the Snowpack, choose, you know, their local community and find sort of our content to back that up.
Right.
And, it was cool as well. Avalanche Canada is making more videos now, snowpack updates. And last year we actually shared with them, we have a field guide. Kath Payon is our communications and marketing manager. She does pretty much everything that has to do with social is in her wheelhouse. And she helped create this amazing field book guide to what goes into our videos, that people make sure that they mention what the hazard is and that they, you know, hit certain points. And Avalanche Canada actually took that from us and I think integrated it into what they're doing. So we try to have as professional and as like open and like, it's just a really beautiful thing to be partnered with Avalanche Canada. So we're really grateful that they see what we're doing to have benefit. And we obviously see what they're doing to have immense benefit.
Yeah, big time. Are you guys getting professionals, proficient backcountry people, or just beginners, enthusiasts who want to get out there and they want the base knowledge to go?
The best thing is we get everyone.
Yeah,
like we really do. You know, we started in Nelson. I think Nelson is a great like flagship example, but we're seeing this in every chapter. You know, at Nelson for the last year and a half now, every event we have has hit capacity, which is 300 people.
What?
Well before it's begun. So
that's crazy.
You know, like, and then we have, you know, over 300 people watch the last Nelson live stream, you know, so it's like, it's really an immense number of people that are tuning in to this content. And we have everyone from like in the audience will often shout out and be like, who's, you know, been ski touring for 10 years, who's a professional. And you get everyone from the person who just moved to that mountain town that winter and is just getting into it to someone, you know, who's been guiding for a while or somebody who's been ski touring in that area for 25 years and everything in between. And I think that's one of the best things that we do is we sort of break down these barriers. You know, we also have like, you know, Julianne from She Shreds, she creates content for us and she's a sledder. And bridging the gap between the sledding and the ski touring, slipboarding communities is really important because we all need to work together to be safe in the backcountry. Really we get all walks of life. Like we have sledders coming to our events in Nelson as well in Revelstoke. And so I think what's great about it is that people can meet ski touring partners. They can also like just learn what they don't know. Like that's a big part of our events. And then people can contribute. You know, often we have a part of every presentation where we ask the audience, like, have you guys seen any avalanche activity? Do you know of anything going on? So it's sort of like a public give and take where we can actually learn from them as well as them learning from us. And we try to present the information with technical terms, but in as easy to understand language as possible, because we want it to be inclusive for people. We want people to be like excited to learn more. And we want them to be able to then know what courses are available for them, which is why we partner with avalanche education providers. And we often have a secondary part of each of our presentations where we have a snowpack update first and then a secondary topic, maybe a case study and an avalanche that happened there. Maybe we'll talk about what to carry in your pack. Maybe we'll talk about mountain medicine, you know, and how you apply that after an avalanche. We've had like Whitewater Resort's operations manager has come and spoken to new changes at the resort and how they're going to manage that. And so it's really this place where the community can actually come together. And when the unfortunate thing of like someone passing from an avalanche happens, one of the really like heartbreakingly beautiful things of the State of Snowpack is it's a place where we can come together and grieve together and also learn. There's no shame. There's no blame. There's just like, how do we move forward as a community? You know, we've partnered with Mountain Muskox who, they're an incredible organization that supports anyone who's experienced trauma in the mountains, whether you're a professional or recreationalist, anywhere in between. And our goal is really just to bring community together and to create a safe space where no matter what level of background you have, you can come, you can learn, you can meet people in your community and just have that sense of togetherness.
That's extremely powerful, to have a community like that. I think I saw that the most kind of recent event there in Revelstoke a couple days ago. It was a fundraiser, which is a little bit different than the other ones I'd seen. Craig Kelly's daughter, Olivia, I think, was spearheading a lot of the fundraising for that.
So Splitfest, we've been approached by them before. It's now Ski Splitfest.
Right.
One of the tenets of what we do is that we believe in this information being shared for free.
Mm-hmm.
It's akin to a public safety announcement.
Yeah.
Splitfest is kind of unique because having our event be part of Splitfest, in order to go, you had to pay the $10 to go to all of the events for that evening.
Right.
And that was kind of, at first, a sticky one for us. What's really interesting about it is, like, well, I do think what the events that they put on are well worth that amount of money for that afternoon. But all the funds were, the majority of them were going to the foundation that's named in Craig Kelly's honor, mm-hmm. Olivia's dad's honor, that does help move snowboard guides through the system and people who want to pursue a greater career in the mountains. And it was interesting for us this year because earlier this fall, Olivia approached us along with John Buffray, who is sort of known as like the snow wizard. He's an incredible snow scientist. He's very ingrained with the bald face cat skiing operation, and he's done work all over the world as an avalanche professional and has known Olivia her whole life. And they had a fundraiser, and they asked, she wants to eventually set up a separate foundation in her father's name. But she wanted to raise funds for State of the Snowpack because she lives in Nelson, and she really thought it as a worthwhile cause. And it was a really wonderful event. Judson Wright, who's my co-chair, he helped me found State of the Snowpack alongside Jason Wishlow and Kat Bayon. He went, and he said it was a really like beautiful event. There was a book that was being talked about there, and we received funds from then. And then she actually just shared another donation with us. And we have just started last year a round of sponsors, and I'm sure we'll speak about that later to sort of like fund what we're doing, because mm-hmm. everything we do is volunteer efforts at this point. And she, to date, is actually our largest single sponsor this season, which is really cool. We have many wonderful sponsors that we've sort of cultivated over the last 2 years. But it's really, I think her father would be thrilled that she's choosing to support an organization that's giving back to the backcountry he loved so much. And so when we saw that the event was fundraising for in support of him, it kind of felt like a beautifully symbolic gesture to be a part of that. And I think, you know, as someone who's lost friends and loved ones in the mountains, it's really touching when they can be honored in that way. I've also, as a guide, received bursaries in honor of people who have passed in the mountains. And it's just a beautiful to be kind of part. It's a sense of a part of the community, right?
Yeah, huge. It's huge to have scholarships to advance, I think, avalanche science, snow science, all that kind of stuff that's not the conventional education route. Super important.
Yeah, it can be really hard to get funding for that. You know, there are some areas like the Columbia Basin that will help people, you know, following non-conventional education streams. But, you know, if you're on the path to becoming an avalanche professional, a ski guide, it's not a cheap one. And so every little bit helps in the examination process. And so I think it's really beautiful that some of these people are honored by having like their legacy honored by helping others on that path.
Yeah. Yeah. So I saw that you guys are a BC Public Safety Society.
We are.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about how that might be different from a typical nonprofit society, or if it's quite similar, just in different mission ways, I guess?
It's quite similar. I learned a lot when it comes to incorporating.
Right.
There's a lot of different ways to do it. But we're pretty similar to other nonprofits, just that we have made it really evident that public safety is the core tenet of what we do, in naming what you do as part of your status. That just kind of helps differentiate more or less to the government what your focus is. And really our focus, as we said, is providing this information for free to these communities to try and help keep people safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the, like, I think the obvious things people see is that we bring people together and we help people learn what they don't know and learn more about the snowpack and start to like really just up their education in a way that doesn't have any cost to them other than their time. But the other ways that we also impact the system, you know, by spreading this information, by empowering people to know how to make more choices, understand the snowpack better. We're hopefully reducing rates of avalanches, reduces rates of rescues, impacts on search and rescue. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is sort of where this like whole thing stemmed from, was like this desire to help more people come home. You know, my, like the core team of State of Snowpack, like at the end of the day, if this helps even one person come back on a day they might not have, then like we will have succeeded in our wildest dreams. And we might not ever get that knowledge, you know, but we have heard of the impact it's had on friend groups out in the mountains, feeling like they're more empowered to speak up and to know what they don't know and to learn more and to take more courses, you know, which obviously taking more courses is like supporting community businesses. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of different trickle down, and supporting Avalanche Canada, you know, like we have people out finding more information, and the more information that's available, like everything we do min reports for all of our videos.
Yeah,
so Avalanche Canada uses all that information.
Yeah.
And even at our last Nelson event, I had the forecaster for the Kootenai region. There was a lot happening in the Kootenai region at that time, a couple of weeks ago, where the north part of the region I happened to guide in that area was quite reactive in snowpack tests and just avalanches happening, really reactive on this December layer. Whereas down in you know, the Nelson area at the lower south end of the region, they had quite a good amount of stability. And so the forecaster was, you know, sort of struggling to make the forecast. Mm-hmm. Just in the sense of like, how do you generalize when there's so much different within the region? It's really challenging.
Yeah.
I just happened to know this person personally, and they're an incredible forecaster. And they were like, when do you have the next event? And I was like, actually, there's one tonight. You should tune in because you can watch it live. And not even 10 minutes into the presentation, like they had linked to it on their public forecast.
Whoa.
Because we're able to speak to the variability.
Yeah.
Because Judson had gone and like tracked down all these
right.
people. He works in the north and works in the south and knows people over in the Slocan. And so we could just speak to a lot of it because we have, you know, 40 minutes to talk about the snowpack. A forecaster has this little blurb, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's like a part of that like symbiotic relationship that we've kind of been building. And so it, there are these trickle down effects that not everyone will see, but I really do believe it's having quite an impact on people's daily lives, just their experience meeting ski touring partners, their experience keeping their head on the swivel out in the mountains, and then continuing their education and being even better stewards of the wilderness.
Yeah, that's huge. So these kind of local experts, I heard you said they have a minimum standard of professional qualification. What is that standard?
Yeah, so in order to create content for us, you have to, or to present in an event, mm-hmm. you have to hold a minimum of a Canadian Avalanche Association Avalanche Operations Level 1. We actually, at this point, every single person who is contributing is an Operations Level 2 or 3.
That's huge.
Which is huge. And then the other qualifier is that you have to be working professionally in some context in the avalanche industry in that region that winter.
Okay.
That could be being an avalanche educator. That could be being a ski guide. That could be working for highways. That could be working as an AVCAN forecaster. We could be working as a forecaster on a patrol, anything like that. And so what that allows, you know, Canadian Avalanche Canada has this system of min reports where anyone can report an avalanche or conditions that they've seen, which is amazing. One of the challenges sometimes to the everyday person, like the everyday recreationalist, is you're not really sure of where that content is coming from. And was it a high level of knowledge and background this person had, or was it like, you know, more early in their experience person, like, you know, newer to the backcountry. And so what's nice about our content, and we fully support the MIN system, like everything we publish, we also publish a MIN because mm-hmm. we really believe in supporting it. But when you're a professional, you can kind of tell what level this is coming from, the content, just by the way someone writes and speaks within it. We kind of have our own language in the avalanche industry for a multitude of factors. But what's nice about ours is that anyone who comes to our site, just like anyone, which is our website, stateofthesnowpack.com, and then our Instagram or our YouTube page, anyone who's coming there, just like when you go to Avalanche Canada, when I go to Avalanche Canada, I know that I get a high level of professionalism. And now I have a really intimate knowledge of that because I know many people on the Avalanche Canada team, and they're incredible. And they're excellent at their jobs. And we wanted the same feeling for people when they come to State of the Snowpack. So I want people to know that the information they're receiving is that, you know, they still have to use to the best of their own ability, and it doesn't replace any sort of avalanche education or courses. but that the level of information they're getting is of a high caliber.
Yeah.
And we really did want to bridge that gap. And one of the beautiful things that I remember hearing in the first couple of years, you know, we're year six in Nelson this year. But now Jason Wishlow, who alongside Judson Wright helped me sort of form the core everything. They're core members of my board and core members of our team, and they're presenters at the Nelson chapter. Wishlow is one of the lead forecasters at Whitewater Ski Resort, and Judson Wright is the owner and lead guide of Pekin Backcountry Guides, and is also the operations manager at White Grizzly Cat Skiing. You know, the two of them told me, like, the amount of people who would just approach them on the street and just, or on the chairlift, and just talk to them about, like, thank you for the information you shared. And, you know, Wishlow, they have a forecasting office at Whitewater, and he said the number of people that will now knock on the door and come talk to them because they feel like they're approachable. No, because it's not just like this random name on a bulletin. It's like, it's a real face. It's a real person, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think that's been a beautiful blessing of what we do, is that we, like, really are, like, bridging that gap between the professionals and the recreationists. And, like, we're all just people, and we can just have a chat and go for a walk and learn about some stuff and keep everyone safer by doing that. So I think that's one of the great things that we do, and one of the nicest things to have as a byproduct.
Yeah, that's huge. Sounds like a bit of a star-studded cast there. I was watching one of the recent ones with Ben Yeager, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an assistant ACMG guide. And he was kind of, he was like telling a story of the snowpack and kind of making a metaphor of, you know, a relationship with a significant other. I kind of, that was pretty funny to me. It may have been last season's, but yeah, I felt like that was kind of a way of connecting with people from every walk of life. Doesn't really matter what your expertise level is. How much liberty do you give the presenters when they come in and they're like, okay, I want to speak for you guys? I saw that there's, like, definitely a typical framework for what you guys go through in the State of the Snowpack presentations, but seems like people give a little bit of personal pizzazz too.
Yeah, well, you gotta love a little personal pizzazz. And I think the truth is, like, each backcountry community is unique. It's different. It has its own flavor. It has its own vibe. It has its own type of community. But at the same time, wanting to have this, like, standardization of, like, what we present, what kind of content we share, how our format looks, our, like, sort of our brand looks, so that people know, okay, this is the same organization doing this work.
Yeah.
So I would say, like, one of the big things we've done is build a huge toolkit on the back end. Cast done a ton of that work, building, you know, like, we have a template for our PowerPoint presentation. We have a template for how we make our videos. We have a template for how we upload to social media. And they're, like, basically Kath and myself are the screen between what gets uploaded and what gets presented. But when it comes to live events, we really just focus on creating incredible teams of people who are professionals, who are really great at connecting to people. You know, you could be an amazing professional and have no ability to really connect with people on stage. And that's not a bad thing. It just means that you're probably not aligned to present for us. And so I think it's been a big part, and our teams that are our board as we expand, like, that really is, like, who do we think will be great to, you know, connect with in these communities? And then, you know, for instance, in Revelstoke, once we connected with Kapow, and they were like, yeah, we really want to do this. Like, Marty, who has an amazing personality, an incredible business, and just is a wonderful backcountry person. You know, we were like, okay, we trust you. Like, who do you think should be part of your chapter? Because, like, he knows best. He knows his community of Revelstoke. You know, just like this year when we added Wendy Lewis to our team, you know, like, we've known that she would be a great addition to our team when she felt, like, ready to join us. And so there is, like, we don't want everyone to sound like a robot. We want people to sound like who they are. Like, Jason Wishlow at Christmas time dresses like Santa and Nelson and sings a Christmas carol because that's, like, part of his vibe. And, like, we're trying to share this information in ways that people will want to come and engage and learn. And so there has to be some ability to share your uniqueness while also maintaining a level of professionalism. And, like, a thing we do is we don't want people to use too much technical language. We want to, if you're going to talk about wind slab, okay, well then tell someone what wind slab is. If you're going to talk about what surface work crystals are, then explain what they are. And so it's not about dumbing things down, but it's a way of speaking to our whole audience. You know, like, there might be someone in the audience that if you just spoke in shorthand would totally know what you're talking about. 99% would have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And so it's about finding ways to, like, connect with community in authentic ways Sharing the information, you know, we want to make sure that every event we're talking about, any weak layers in the snowpack, any reactivity we're seeing, any, you know, major min reports, things like that are consistent in terms of like what we need to share, what kind of information needs to be passed along, like a seasonal history, mm-hmm. things like that. But exactly how it's presented, we have a liberty for you being able to share in an authentic way.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's, I feel like it's pretty crucial if you're selecting people for their personality, hopefully. Well, I mean, among other things, obviously, but a little bit of liberty there. Song break.
I really like that song, Silver Lining, by First Aid Kit. That's a pretty banger of a track.
Nice.
I think about that a lot when I speak.
But I'm scared of living too fast, too slow. Regret, remorse, hold on. No, no, I gotta go. There's no starting over, no new beginnings. Time raises on. Just gotta keep on keeping on. Gotta keep on going, looking straight out on the road. Can't worry about what's behind you, what's coming for you further up the road. Try not to hold on to what is gone. I try to do right what is wrong. I try to keep on keeping on. Yeah, I just keep on keeping on. I hear a voice call, calling out for me. These shackles I made in an attempt to be free. Be it for ease. Something good comes with the bad. It's all never just sad. There's hope. There's a silver light. Show me my silver light. Show me my silver light. I hear a voice call, calling out for me. These shackles.
Now let me subject you to some advertisement and public service announcements on CITR 101.9 FM.
Okay, let's see here. Blend equal parts science and stories. Add a few shakes of music and soundscape, and wrap it all up in a big question. How can we see this more than human world in a new light? And take part in shaping a healthy Anthropocene. Catch Future Ecologies every Sunday at 8 a.m. on CITR.
Are you interested in playing, watching, or discussing all things cricket? Look no further than UBC's Cricket Club. Reach out to @AMSUBCCricketClub on Instagram to get connected today.
Do you love being caffeinated? And do you hate that greedy, soulless international conglomerates are succeeding in the cutthroat world of coffee? Sounds like local coffee roasters Trek Coffee is for you. Trek Coffee is 100% indigenous and military veteran owned and operated. Let's keep small businesses thriving. Stop by Sunshine Convenience on 4th, the Super Value on Commercial, or Grocery Checkout in the Nest to pick up some Trek coffee today. Are you tired of Big Brother bookstores trying to sell you some billionaire's favorite book or Heather's top picks? Then you should check out Vancouver Books. Vancouver Books is a new online family-run bookstore. A portion of their profits go to First Nations reconciliation and environmental projects in British Columbia. They provide their customers with the most interesting books in fine arts, signed first editions, First Nations photography, fine ancient books, occult, and so much more. They also provide carbon-free delivery to anywhere in the Vancouver area. So go to www.vancouverbooks.ca to check out Vancouver Books today. That's www.vancouverbooks.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to Outdoor Pursuits on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Jade Quinn McDonald, and we are about to jump back into our conversation with Morgan Dinsdale, the Executive Director of State of the Snowpack, a Kootenai-based society keeping people safe in the backcountry since 2009. This time around, we chat about her experience as a speaker in the series. We talk a little bit about the sledding versus non-motorized recreationalist interface, and we talk about their plans to expand. So tune in to hear how State of the Snowpack is going to take on the whole mountain landscape of Canada. Did you ever present yourself as part of this State of the Snowpack?
I have presented.
Nice.
I presented at the Nelson chapter, mm-hmm. And I really, really miss it. I miss the Kootenays a lot. In the first couple of years I did present, I also, Judson presented quite a bit, Wishy presented quite a bit. When I started State of the Snowpack in Nelson, it was something that I first was introduced to in Jackson. I lived in Jackson, Wyoming for most of my 20s, and that's where I got into backcountry skiing. That's where I met amazing ski touring partners at this little event called State of the Snowpack that was run by the search and rescue team there. And I learned so much about what I didn't know. I met so many incredible ski touring partners, so many amazing professionals that I ended up learning from in my pursuit of becoming a guide. And when I moved back to Canada, I moved to Nelson when I first moved back to Canada. I really wanted a way to connect with the community and get back to the community. And I had this idea, like, I want to bring State of the Snowpack to Nelson. And so I knew another guide who introduced me to Judson Wright, and he was super passionate about it and super stoked on it. And I was like, okay, well, here's the person who can help me get it going. And so I was a new member of the Nelson community. Mm-hmm. I was working for a cat ski operation and also working part-time as a pro patroller, but I was still a new face. And so it felt really appropriate that someone like Judson or Jason Wishlow, who were already like established, known avalanche, practitioners, professionals in the community, that they stand in front of their audience. And then in the last couple of years, also as I've grown in my career, moved up in my certifications and levels, I felt like more excited about presenting. And then I just moved away to Pemberton, mm-hmm. and it's been really hard because I'm so far away. But hopefully I will present it more in the future. I really would like to. I love presenting at them. I think they're super valuable, super meaningful. Last year I did a second presentation on spring skiing, mm-hmm. and sort of like what conditions happen in the springtime.
Oh, cool.
Which I really enjoyed doing. I'm an outgoing person for sure. I like public speaking, but one of the big things for me is as we've grown into more chapters is sort of I've taken a step back from that sort of local level, and like Kath Payone runs our Nelson chapter. Each chapter has its own sort of organizational head. And I'm focusing on a lot of the bigger picture stuff, which is that, we needed to raise funds because we have website costs and hosting costs, and we wanted to buy merchandise. Mm-hmm. And, at this point, it's taking like thousands of hours of work for several members, and myself included, a year to make sure that these all run. And so focusing on bringing in sponsors to help cover our back end and administrative costs, and then focusing on building out each new chapter, that's sort of something that falls under my realm. So like this year, a bunch of people from Fernie approached me at the Spring Canadian Avalanche Association Conference in May that they really wanted to have a chapter. And so I worked over the summer to connect with a local who was super passionate about being the organizer and connect with the speakers and make sure everything was sort of lined up for them. So I'm learning that balance between running and holding the bigger picture focus and also still desiring to like be very hands-on and involved. And as we expand, we're hopeful to have chapters out in the Sea to Sky. I think a chapter in Squamish makes a lot of sense, just from a community perspective. So hopefully as we expand. And there's lots more towns who want to come on board. We've gotten a lot of people have approached us this winter in particular, wanting to expand and have chapters in their communities. And so hopefully as more open up, I'll have more opportunities to present. But awesome. I definitely, my heart is definitely missing the Nelson chapter. And, you know, I'd love to speak at the Rebbe chapter and or any of them, really.
Well, I'm sure you are missed there as well. As far as collaborators go, are you guys usually the ones initiating contact? Is it kind of a mix of them approaching you? How did the collaborators and sponsorships work out?
So, like, by collaborators, do you mean, like, people who contribute content to us?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, we can start there with the recent She Shreds Sledding Initiative. Mm-hmm. Did they contact you guys?
Yeah, so She Shreds, which is owned and run and operated by Julianne Chapman, who, you know, the sledding world and the world of professional sledding guides is growing so rapidly. You know, they're still developing snowpack tests that are applicable to their machines that they travel through. And the level of professionalism that I have seen in the sledding industry over the last, you know, 10 years is really remarkable, the people who are putting in a ton of effort. I've known Julianne for a number of years. We actually met when we were both doing our CA Avalanche Operations Level 2 forecasting course. She was doing a sled-specific one, and our non-sled one was attached, sort of. And we've just had a good relationship since then. I've actually done courses with her. I've learned a lot. We use sleds where I guide in the interior for snow safety days. I'm one of the snow safety leads. And so knowing how to use that tool efficiently and effectively is really important to me. And she was like, right off from the bat, was like, I want to be involved. Like, I was like, I want you to be involved. And she was like, I want to be involved. And the last 2 years in particular, she's really tried to make more videos when she's out teaching courses. And what's cool is that, like, Julianne, the sledder zones in the Kootenays are so different from the ski touring zone.
Yeah.
And so she is covering a lot of these zones, and she is a professional sled guide. You know, she holds a CA, a level 2. Like, she's an incredible professional in the sledding industry, in my opinion. And it's so great to have her because she's got a great personality that comes across really well. You know, like, again, speaks to, like, you know, getting the content out, but having your own personal stamp on everything. Yeah. And so in that instance, it just was like a really natural kind of symbiotic coming together of the two of us. And she's been helping me connect with other sled professionals across the province as our desire to have more sledders and more sled content, you know, that. I want lots of sledders.
Nice.
I want lots of people involved, but yeah. I'd love to have more sledding professionals. And then certain things, like last year I went to the Canadian Avalanche Association spring conferences, mm-hmm. which are in May, and was really like overwhelmed in the most incredible way by how many people from the CAA to Avalanche Canada to different guiding or avalanche education touring operations were just so excited about what we were doing, and we're just paying attention to what we were doing and wanting to be involved. And
yeah.
The Fernie chapter literally came out of that because I had so many people approach us being like, we want to be a part of this. Like, how do we be a part of it? And Kath and myself have really built this back end sort of really back end toolkit and also frameworks that we can bring on other chapters. You know, early on we got the advice, like, don't expand too quickly mm-hmm. because it'll dilute what you're doing. Get really focused on what you want to create, how you're going to do it, and the standard you're going to hold yourself to, and then expand from there. And that's what we really have done. And the other day I was talking to Kath, and her husband had mentioned to her, she said to her husband, like, this ball is really rolling. And he was like, Kath, you guys are a snowball, like, rocketing downhill. He's like, the ball isn't just rolling. Like, yeah. You guys are full speed ahead.
Yeah.
And that's an exciting place to be, but, you know, also it's one step in front of the other.
Mm-hmm.
So when we want to onboard a community, it's really about, is there someone locally who isn't a ski guide, who AKA has time in their winter to dedicate to this?
Yeah.
Is there a venue that's happy to host us? Is there an avalanche education partner or more than one that we can connect with? Can we connect with the ski resort? Like, who can help us get the information we need for these chapters? And so when all those pieces start to fall in line, which usually happens once we have someone who's like, I can commit the time.
Yeah.
To organizing it for my community, then all those pieces start to come together, and that's when we green light a chapter.
Yeah, so I see Whitewater is kind of one of your official partners. Are you guys involved directly with any other resorts?
Well, we've been talking to Red Mountain.
Okay.
We've had talks with Revelstoke Mountain Resort as well. We haven't yet with Fernie, but I think that is definitely on the agenda in Fernie. Everywhere that we can be connected with the resort is great. One of the amazing things about our partnership with Whitewater is that it's really shown how they can give to their community without adding too much to their day, you know? So it does take a couple of extra minutes, like probably like an extra 15 minutes to, you know, film a little snowpack video update for us, but because you probably have to do more than one take because our videos are only a couple minutes long. But it gives so much to the community. And it's been nice to have that like collaboration between us and Backcountry Skiing Canada and Whitewater because it's really just something that we feel like gives so much to the community and doesn't take too much. But, you know, Whitewater is allowing us to use their forecasters on, you know, while they're on the clock to help, you know, do this work. Like, yes, they're already digging and getting that information, but they are allowing us to utilize their resources for the greater good of the community. And that's why we sort of like on our website, you've probably seen like we have partners and we have sponsors. And so our partners are people that are not necessarily giving us anything monetarily. It's just a really, like sort of symbiotic relationship. Like we both get a lot out of it from each other. So, you know, obviously like Whitewater is a great example. Like they get opportunities to come and speak to the public. You know, they had a new chairlift in last year. They changed some of their avalanche control boundaries this year. They get a forum to come and talk to people. They get to connect their forecasters to the community that skis at their resort. And then, you know, like we get all that information. We get their forecasters coming down and contributing and being a part of what we're doing. And, you know, at our Nelson events, like all the time, there's tons of ski patrols there, like tons of them show up, which is so great because then people from the community can connect with them and they can have a night off just enjoying, you know, being snow nerds in, you know, a public fun place. And then we have sponsors, and these are businesses that have written us checks or donations that have come in to actually help pay for the back end cost of running this, you know, website and all the uploads we do and sort of the administrative costs that we have. Right. And often these people are people who came to our events and are like, we really want to be a part of this. Like one of our Nelson sponsors is the Rainy Day Collective. And he's one of the owners of that comes to our events and is just like, we want to sponsor this. And then like Hub International, which is an insurance company in Nelson, was like, we want to sponsor this. We love this event. And then this year, actually, they had like a match donation from one of their counterparts in Toronto. And so that's one of the things we are looking for, because we do have raffles at our live events, which is a way we fundraise as well. Which is amazing because they get donations from local shops, from ski brands, snowboard brands, you know, anyone will really take them from. Last year we had the Savoy Hotel give us a bunch of gift certificates for a night's stay at their hotel. And so this year is really exciting. We have some really big prizes that we're raffling off. If you attend all the raffles in Nelson, for instance, like we have a 2-night stay at White Grizzly Lodge. We have some beautiful prize packs, like this incredible local made backpacking backpack for ski touring. That's an incredible backpack that's been donated. But it really does help. And we really are seeking like bigger sponsorship from different companies and organizations that sort of have the money to give to support a nonprofit. And so that's kind of our different like stages of being either partners or sponsors, you know, angel like donations, everything in between.
Yeah, that's amazing to have different kind of avenues for people to support, because money is important, but time is money, as they say. I was looking at your donation page on the website, and I saw there's kind of different scales of you know, you can either be the below tree line, alpine, or the big daddy. Have you ever had any contributions up to the 5,000 plus mark where someone comes in and is like, I want this in Fernie. Here's 20 grand.
I would love that. I am definitely seeking that. That's a big part of our plan for the next year, 2 years, as, you know, more chapters come on board. And just, you know, this initiative does take a lot of hours, and valuing those hours is important to us. But we haven't yet had that happen. We have had a lot of come in at the $1,000 mark. You know, like Olivia Kelly is about halfway between the two this year. So we haven't had any huge ones yet, but I will say what's really cool is we went to a different donation platform this year, a platform called Zephy. And at our live events, we use it for our raffle. And then you can also do donations on top of buying raffles. And that's been incredible for us because it's made it so much more accessible for the community to support us. Like, even if I'm watching at home, you can like scan the QR code on your TV and give a one-time donation, or, you know, that up for multiple if you want to, but we're definitely seeking that, like more people, like whether it's private citizens who want to invest in what we're doing because they just are big, you know, passionate about what we do and keeping people safe in the backcountry, or bigger businesses that have, you know, allocated parts of their budget for supporting charities or nonprofits. We're definitely seeking that because we're at the point now where we do need to raise significantly more money to kind of keep this ball rolling in a really healthy way. But yeah, we haven't yet had any big ones, but I kind of feel like it's coming.
I mean, you know? Yeah, it seems like pressure's rising a little bit. People are hungry to have it in their communities. I saw back in some of your earlier posts, like, kind of calling for leads, like community leads in Golden, and I also saw the Yukon. Do you guys still have goals of expanding out of province?
Yes, we do. We definitely do. And we've actually started initial conversations, like, for instance, in Golden, like, the uphill. In Golden and then in Canmore as well, like they're doing really similar things. And what's really cool is there's lots of people creating similar content to us, whether it's snowpack video updates or hosting local snowpack events where they talk about snowpack. One of the things we want to do is sort of like create like sort of a centralized version of that. You know, like you go to Avalanche Canada, no matter where you live in Canada, to look at what's happening in the backcountry that you're going to go into. And something that I really became very aware of, especially during the pandemic, was that there's so much content everywhere that can be overwhelming to remember where you saw something.
Yeah.
You're like, wait, did they post it on their Facebook or was it the YouTube or was it the resort page? And we don't want to stop people from posting on their own sites. That like post it everywhere you want. We're all for it. But we would love to be the one place that people can come and be like, when's there going to be a next snowpack event in this town? And you just click on, you go to stateofthesnowpack.com, click on your town, and all the details are right there for you. And so one of the things we are doing and coming online with these other communities is, for instance, like we want to connect with like what Ski Uphill is doing and see like, would you like to join forces? You know, like they're doing similar things in different places because then everyone kind of just knows that it's about like what we're about and what we do and the minimum standards that we hold people to. And like if a different chapter, let's say, wants to raise money for their local search and rescue, like we will get on board that train. Like, as I said, every chapter has its own unique flavor and the things that matter to it. And that matters to us. Not about, you know, making everyone the same. It's about making sure the public knows that this resource exists for them and they can go to our website to get the links to all of that stuff. And from our website, you can link to everyone's different Instagram account, to everyone's different webpage, to everyone's, you know, course room that they have on offer. So it's just about creating that like centralized place. Like I said, like our initial vision was like, if people go to look at their backcountry forecast at Avalanche Canada, see what the forecast was for the day, see what the problems are, check out the weather product, and then go from there and click a button. And like, this is something we're working on with Avalanche Canada right now, to like literally have a link to go from there to State of the Snowpack. And you can find your local chapter and see the most recent snowpack video update or the most recent live stream or when the next event is going on. And so it's people, instead of having to look everywhere, can kind of go to one place and then branch out from there. And like in the Yukon, for instance, I have two friends who are professional forecasters for Avalanche Canada up there, and they really, really, really want to have a chapter.
That would be amazing.
And so we would love that. And like Quebec has tons of people who ski tour. And so like we're open to having chapters all across the country.
Yeah, that's huge. I guess it just takes that kind of motivated lead, community lead who has connections.
And a big thing that we've become very aware of in part because of people like me causing problems is that it needs to be someone who's not like deeply entrenched in their work in the winter time. Like I dive too much. I literally dive full time for a heli ski operation out here on the coast and full-time breakout ski operation, which leaves very few days off a winter.
Yeah.
And so as much as I have the desire to organize things, like bless the cast for running the chapter of State of the Snowpack, because she, you know, she has a busy life, she's a mom, but she has the time to commit. And we're like, we need our organizer to not be a person who is entrenched in this work in the winter. Everyone who's creating content and doing the presentations, yes, we want them entrenched in that culture, but we need to have someone who can be on the ground, you know, going to pick up donations or making sure things are set with the venue or checking in with the cameraman before the live stream happens, or just able to answer emails during 9 to 5 hours. You know, like when I'm guiding, my phone is on airplane mode for those hours.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of an important piece in every town, is having someone who's like passionate about bringing this to their community. And, you know, Fernie is another good example of bringing them on this year. Like, the level of professionalism that Ian, our local organizer, has brought is incredible. Like, Kath and I were asking for some of the back-end information we needed on their speakers, because we keep very vigilant records of people's certifications, where they work, sort of all their contact information on the back end. And he sent us this incredible Excel spreadsheet. And we were like, well, this is the new standard for every new chapter, because this is such an incredible level of professionalism that he brought us. And so we're really thankful to everyone who wants to create a new chapter in their town, because it really does give back in such a profoundly impactful way. And it is definitely work.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So there's lots of ski communities in BC and around Canada. How do you recommend folks who don't have a chapter to get information and access to local states of the snowpack?
Yeah, that's a great question. I love that question. I would say if they're in a community where they have a ski resort, where they have local avalanche education courses, like AST1s, 2s, to go and personally meet the people who run these. So go and meet the forecasting team. Go and, you know, like, for instance, like, Rogers Pass is one of the most heavily skied, it's probably the most heavily backcountry winter areas in all of Canada, I would guess. And I know that if you go in and walk into the center that's up there, when there's people there, you can have great conversations with the forecasters who are up there and learn a ton. And so be hungry for knowledge. Know that professionals aren't always available. You know, if they're on a busy avalanche control day, you know, there's been a ton of new snow, a ton of new wind, there's going to be a lot of activity. Maybe that's not the best day to go talk to them. But if you're in a community where you have access to a resort, they're going to have a forecasting team. You literally can't run a mountain without avalanche forecasters keeping it safe and opening and closing terrain. Not that I know. And if you're an avalanche educator, you're going to be passionate about making sure that these people have access to information. I also recommend the MIN reports. When you go on Avalanche Canada, you can see on the map everyone who has published a MIN report, and just look for any near your zone, any within the range that you're ski touring. You know, reach out. Even, you know, if you're in a really remote zone, you can always reach out to Avalanche Canada and be like, do you have any forecasters, whoever working in this region? I'm trying to get some information. And so, you know, sometimes it might take a minute to get an answer back from some of those places, but I think all of those places want to help people understand their snowpack better. And if you live in one of those towns and you'd like to have this event there, like, just reach out to us. Like, we would love to have them. Like, whether you're in a small community, like, we had Castle Resort recently reach out to us, and we're speaking with them about building a chapter there. And you know, just connect with us, because we want to bring this everywhere. We want people to feel safe and empowered in their backcountries and to learn what they don't know. And and you can reach out to us directly off of our website. Like, we have a contact page there as well. And if you want to be a contributor, if you live in one of these communities that we have one already or would like to have one, you can also reach out to us that way. So there's a bunch of ways to connect with us.
Cool. And it's stateofthesnowpack.com?
Yep.
Awesome. Is that a new website?
We've had it for 4 years.
Oh,
4 years now.
Beautiful.
We rebuilt it. Kath and I rebuilt it two summers ago, and then last summer it's been a labor of love. That's
for
sure.
Wow. Yeah. The branding is amazing. It's beautifully made. Go check it out if you're listening. I've really enjoyed watching the couple recorded live streams. Yeah, they're so amazing. Everyone has their own personality. Everyone is obviously selected for a reason. So fantastic. And the fact that you guys incorporate things like how to use Gaia, anywhere from that kind of technical aspect to the Mountain Muskox initiative and everything in between. Props.
Thank you. Yeah, we just really are all people who love being in the wilderness, and we just want to share that with other people and help keep people safe. And it's funny, Judson, at the last couple of a few of the last ones he's done in Nelson, he made a comment which makes me laugh, and he's like, we think we're the snow nerds, but you all showed up on Thursday night to come hang out with us, so clearly we're not the only snow nerds.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And I love that, because, like, I feel like sometimes a barrier for people, you know, it would be a lie to pretend that in Canada right now, we're not all living through somewhat of an economic depression. You know, the cost of living is incredibly high, and being able to be a backcountry skier means that we're so privileged inherently, but that doesn't mean that you have an extra $400 to go get your AST2. And so what's so great is we want people to go and get their AST2. We want people to continue their education, but they can come and they can continue to learn and stay at the Snowpack. And then they can hear about when, you know, Judson is offering a discount on his AST2 because he wants to give, like, you know, a GST rebate kind of thing. And then they can sign up for that course. And so I think it encourages people to continue to learn, to continue to be curious, to continue to be an even greater, like, snow wilderness, you know, nerd in the best sense of it. You know, and then they know the people who are offering the courses when they have the money and can go and continue their education in that way.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys seem like the ultimate bridge between professionals and enthusiasts.
Thanks. We're definitely trying to be that.
Yeah. We're coming up on the time here. So I wanted to give you the opportunity to put in any plugs, any thank yous to anybody, any shout outs.
I love that. Well, just big thank yous to everyone who comes to our events. Massive thank yous to every single person who's contributing, whether they're speaking live, making videos, doing organization on the back end. Definitely major shout out to the core team behind State of the Snowpack, and everyone who is in their mind listening to this excited about wanting to bring one to their own town. And thank you to every sponsor that we've had and every sponsor that we're going to have and those partnerships. Big, like, massive gratitude to Avalanche Canada and to all of our local partners. Lots of gratitude.
Awesome. Well, lots of gratitude to you and your team. You guys are doing incredibly important work, I think, filling a void in a lot of ways about local knowledge. So keep it up. Thanks for your time.
Awesome. Thank you.
Chat soon.
Hope to hear it when it comes out.
The day is right.